Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club be for. Many a day has passed.
Yo, what's up, everybody? On today's episode, we'll talk about has anything or did anything surprise you from the article that came out? Norvell, did he duck that game against Clemson? And finally, do we have anything to look forward to the rest of this football season? Sam, you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, man, let's do it. All right, so Sam, I guess we know, there was an article, a whole lot of information that a lot of people, I guess, did not know. If you've been listening to this podcast, you'll know that we've been saying a lot of it. But I guess my question is, did anything really stand out to you in the article that, you want to talk about here that we haven't already discussed or maybe rehash again?
You know, nothing actually surprised me. But I did think some things was like it was something that I took away from it. The Jimbo part with him, his attitude towards the administration and how it filtered down to the players. I think that's where it broke the players' will. You know what I'm saying? It's finna get a little political, so you know, brace yourselves, people. But people always say, like, you know, Donald Trump isn't the worst president, or he isn't this, or he isn't that. The thing is that he says the ugly things out loud. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I agree with that, right? He's not the worst this or the worst that, but, you know, he says the ugly things out loud. And I think that's what Jimbo did, especially after winning a national championship. He had always been doing it, but especially after winning a national championship, he said a lot of the ugly things out loud. And I think that was the major difference between 2013 to 2014, going all the way back down, to where we're at now, because I think a lot of former players feel a certain kind of way about the administration. They always have.
Right.
Bobby Bowden never said anything about the administration. You know, he was always like, yeah, everything's great. You know what I'm saying? And if you're not Corey Simon, Peter Ward, Charlie Ward, you know, these big names, you know, a lot of these guys don't look at the administration the way, you know, the bigger names do. You know what I'm saying? FSU don't take care of former players or make them all feel included into the program, even after they leave the football program. You know what I'm saying? And Jimbo being very loud and vocal about that, especially after winning that national championship, to those players, I think is what eroded the culture of FSU, you know, for everybody that believes in culture and stuff like that. I think it did have a major part to play in it. Another part that kind of surprised me was...
Before you go to that point, though, let me ask you a question. Was Jimbo wrong in how he felt? I mean, in voicing these things out loud?
No, because I'm going to say this. So I went to this, I think this was 2012, the spring of 2012. I went to it was like a gathering of former players with my friend. When Jimbo got all the former players together, I think he had got all them hotels and everything like that. And he was saying, I remember in that little meeting that he had with those guys, you know, all these foreign players. So it had to be like, it was over, I want to say it was like 100 plus, which is not all of them, but I mean, it was a good amount. You know what I'm saying? But he was like, you know, I really want you guys to come back. And, you know, you guys built this and we don't see enough of y'all around here. And we got to make it a point. And he was talking about how I need y'all for recruiting. I need y'all for this. I need y'all for that, you know. And I think, like, the following, I think it was, I want to say it was halfway through that 2012 year, something like that. I talked to my homeboy, and he was like, damn, man, they said they're not going to be able to do the hotel thing with us again next year. Because they was getting them free hotels and stuff. You know what I'm saying? And I think Jimbo wanted this to be LSU and Alabama. When you see former players just always hanging around, you know? But I don't think the administration really backed the idea of spending money on players that's not even playing anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like hotel expenses and travel expenses for former players to be around like that. And a lot of players, you know, they got families and stuff now. You know, they're retired from their careers. They're doing their second and third career. And I think that bothered him. You know, I mean, they didn't put that in the article, but I noticed to be a fact that that was something that he was trying to do. And him and Monk was trying to do that together. And, you know, the administration, like, money-wise, wasn't trying to back something like that, you know, at that large of a scale, you know, when it's really not a problem in other schools, you know what I'm saying? And when you have that type of, you know, pushback, and then you take your former players, the guys that came from under Jimbo, the guys like EJ, and, you know, like Bradham and Vince Williams and those guys, you know, they had just getting out of their, in their careers or whatever. And I know he's making a bigger point to get those guys to come because, you know, they had money. You know, they still in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? So you would see more Jimbo guys on the sideline than you would see, you know, the Bobby guys. And that created a lot of friction. You know what I'm saying? But all of this blame, in my opinion, is because the administration never fully got behind the idea of everybody need to be included in it. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I just, he wasn't wrong. Was it wrong for him to filter that down all the way to all the players in the locker room that's still on the team that he's recruiting? Yeah, I mean, that was wrong. You know what I'm saying? That was wrong, you know? And him not recruiting, that shit was dead ass wrong, you know? But, you know, it's just, it's a lot. It's a lot layered there in that conversation.
Okay, good. No, but go ahead. Continue. You were saying another point you had in the article.
Oh, the candor of the people that work for Willie Taggart. I thought that was interesting. I thought, because it seemed like they came off more, they told the full picture of their tenure than the Jimbo, you know, part. You know what I'm saying? It felt like they came out a little bit more forceful on, you know, what everything that happened. I thought that was kind of odd. Made me probably feel like maybe they talked to a former running back coach. I don't know. Just how I feel. But I thought that candor was kind of interesting. But I mean, and I found the part about Willie that really is like kind of funny to me is like how they really like expect for him to be okay with the facilities and everything, how that rubbed them wrong that he said not to put a Band-Aid on, like that actually rubbed them wrong, like that ruffled their feathers. And it just kind of shows you like the inundated way in which they think of FSU is just odd to me. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just odd to me. How do you hear that from two different coaches and it makes you mad every single time? You know, like that's, you would think that you would be like, damn. And then you pay. And then another part that really tripped me out. Well, go ahead and make your point, because I'm going to get off to the other point.
No, I mean, the part about Willie was the only part that really, I think, surprised me a little bit, because I didn't think – it's certain things that I think you could say about, you know, coaches, especially coaches who are still coaching, that I just find you kind of get to a point where it's like, all right, man. I hear what you're saying. He may not have been great at FSU and so on and so forth, but this man, one, is still coaching, and two, has been fairly successful. You know what I mean? Has been pretty successful. I think when we talked the other day, I said the part about, you know, players saying, coach, we only got 5 plays. Ain't no way it's going to work. They're going to figure that out. And I was thinking to myself, I mean, all right, I hear you, but some stuff got to be like, I mean, yeah, okay, that's a quote, but Am I believing that Willie Taggart has five plays? You know what I'm saying? And if he did have five plays, it's like, well, damn, he's been very successful with these five plays. You know what I mean? Like, he's been able to run them five plays very well. You know what I mean? He rolling up 40 and 50 points on teams. He was doing it at Oregon. He did it at USF. So it's kind of like some of that stuff came off a bit disingenuous to kind of throw dirt on a guy who was already, you know what I mean? Nobody looks at Willie Taggart and says his tenure at FSU was successful. Cool. Well, we don't like what you don't need is that extra, you know, this dude ain't this and this, you know what I mean? He ain't that. And when you start, you know, so the people was like, oh yeah, he only had five plays, and we was like, coach, you know, that ain't gonna work. These teams gonna figure it out. Man, get out of here. You know what I mean?
Well, like, that's the part that was funny about that. What's funny about that is that record breaking offense that the Indianapolis Colts had with Edgerrin James and Marvin Harrison, they had 21 plays. Right. They ran 21 of the same plays. They ran 21 plays that whole year. I think that a lot of these players, you know, and what you see in that article was like, nobody wants to accept the blame. Like, nobody wants to accept blame. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what you really saw in that whole article. And, you know, the thing about Willie is, I knew for a fact, they said the Virginia Tech game, they only installed, I think it was might have been 15 or 16 plays in that game.
Right.
Okay. Which isn't, like, I know that sounds like a small amount of plays, but, like, you run a plays with different options in those, within those plays. Those one play might have five different options in it.
Now, hold on. Like, here's what's funny, right? And this is what I thought about when I thought about the five plays, right? Willie got fired for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
But never did we look at the offense and just be like, damn, they really dumbed this down, right? But then I take it back to the last game I watched Mike Norvell and staff and company coach, and I say, was that not, you know, three to five plays of some of the most simplistic stuff that you've ever seen? I mean, hell, your offensive coordinator came out and said, I haven't had that few plays installed in my offense, you know, since even in high school games.
Right.
So that's what I mean. Like, again, a lot of this stuff just is.
But those guys.
Silly to me to hear, like, you know what I mean? I'm not saying, you know what I mean? Like, when you start, this coach only had this and this dude only had this. Man, there are levels to this. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. We don't know what your quarterback can handle, what your receiver group can handle. If he had five plays and them five plays work well, then, man, run them five plays until your heart is content. Because if they can't stop them five plays, it don't matter. Willie won games with those five plays. If that's what, you know what I mean? If that's what you're saying it is. I think it's, like you said, the candor of the people who were speaking about Willie was to me really, really disrespectful and a bit eye-opening to how they saw and how they respected Willie. The Jimbo part, we already knew. Like, you know, I guess that was the other thing I took away from the article is we've been covering this story since, like, last year. They just decided to talk about it. But we've been saying the administration and Jimbo Fisher and the behind the scenes and drink machines and all, like, we've been talking about that stuff for over a year now. So for me, I looked at it and I was like, I'm not surprised by any of this. This is what I was, you know what I mean? This is what we've been saying. Like, if you've listened to our podcast and the folks who listen to our podcast have heard these stories. We had Ingram Smith on to tell us about Jimbo Fisher and the failures. We had Adam on to tell us about the failures of the administration.
Right.
Me and you have discussed the behind the scenes and the administration and what they needed to do and how they needed to fix the behind the scenes first before hiring a new coach.
Right. I mean, we talked about, I remember I said to you, I said on the podcast, I know I've said on my timeline, if you fire a coach within 21 games, you have systemic issues.
Correct. Right? We did a whole podcast on systemic issues. Yeah. What's the systemic issues that Florida State is going through and how do we fix it? And does that need to be fixed first? We did that.
Yeah. I mean, because when you fire a coach that fast, that means you failed at every level. You failed that, first of all, you failed at evaluating that coach. Right. Right. The second thing you did, you failed at the hiring process of that coach and the people that you're going to put around that coach. The third thing you did is you failed at the resources to support that coach because you fired. I mean, you got to think. I mean, even at Auburn, Gene Chizik was a bad coach. Like, seriously, like, Gene Chicken is a terrible coach. He hasn't been good. He was never good as a head coach anywhere. He came from Iowa State, was a terrible coach at Iowa State. Came to Auburn. They put everything around him. They won a championship. He went on to be a bad coach. They fired him. That was 4 years. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But, yo, the things around him were so real well ran that you was able to find 8 wins, a national championship, you know, to get a quarterback he needed. You know what I'm saying? Then you look at LSU. LSU right now is going through the same thing. They hired a bad coach. No doubt in my mind about that. Ed Orgeron is a terrible coach. But they put the things around him. They went and got Joe Brady. They went and got – they had Dave Aranda, who, if you watched them last year, you could tell that Ed Orgeron and Dave Aranda did not like each other at all.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But they put the things around Ed Orgeron to be successful. Now, he's going to be fired in the next 3 years or whatever. He'll be out of a job. And no doubt in my mind about that. They'd be looking for another coach. But when you fire a coach in 21 games, after you paid $35 million to go get that coach, mm-hmm. you know how poorly ran of an organization you are to do that? To fire anybody in a year and a half when you committed $35 million to that person? Right. Like the level of dysfunction that exists to do something that stupid when you're already a cash-strapped organization?
Right. That makes you look bad.
They don't get enough blame. They don't get enough blame for that. Like, people gloss over that shit like it didn't happen. But, like, you think about that. $35 million, you basically flushed down a fucking trash can in 21 games. And nobody gets – everybody keeps saying, well, Stan Wilcox. I can tell y'all this for a fact, and you can say what you want to say. Stan Wilcox might have drew a line saying he wanted to hire a black head coach. But at the end of the fucking day, Stan Wilcox did not have that type of power to just go hire a black head coach and say, this is who we're going to hire. This is what it is. But he don't have that type of power, dude. I'm telling y'all. The structure does not exist where athletic director at Florida State, since Dave Hart, has had that type of power to just – this is what it is, and this is what I'm going to do. Like, it has not existed at Florida State. Like, that was the other part of the article that kind of was kind of funny to me, because everybody piled on Stan Wilcox, which Stan Wilcox was fucking incompetent. No doubt in my mind about that. He was incompetent. He don't have that type of power to say, this is who I'm hiring. He just don't have it. And they can throw the blame, like, Thrasher and those boosters made that hype. You know what I'm saying? They made that hire. And the fact that they kind of like, and then you allow Thrasher and those same boosters to turn back around and hire Mike Norvell. And maybe Mike Norvell's going to work out, but we'll get to that at the end of the pod. But, like, that shit don't get talked about enough, that they flushed away $35 million. Think about that. The football-only facility is going to be $63 million. They got half of that at, like, 32. So then they had the other 34. they could build a football facility. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much money they flushed away. Think about the assistant coaching pool that you could have put together with $34 million. Think about the allocated fund that you could have put into developing a behind-the-scenes shadow staff. $34 million. That y'all basically said, fuck it, we're good on it. That shit does not get talked about enough. It really don't.
No, I mean, again, I hate to, you know, I guess, kind of rehash things that everybody, I guess, has talked about all week one and stories that we've been, I guess, talking about for a while now. But, yeah, at the end of the day, it is what it is, right? The administration, the behind the scenes, have had a whole lot more failures than the FSU coaches have, in my opinion. I believe had they fixed things behind the scenes. Yeah, Jimbo was broken, had a lot of, you know, personal issues, had a lot of things he was dealing with or whatever, things I can relate to and understand that kind of throw you off, you know, that kind of shake you off a little bit. So I understand Jimbo Fisher being that way. But Jimbo Fisher had also earned a level of credibility that I felt like he should have been able to, that the administration should have still backed him. You know what I mean? Hey, listen, you know, we got to figure these things out. Let's have conversation. Let's come to some mutual understanding, because what we do have is a good coach here. We got a coach who clearly can win the big one. You don't want to get rid of those guys. Like, and so if we got to acquiesce a little bit to, you know what I mean, to what he's saying, then we may have to bend over a little bit and just kind of, you know, take a little bit from it, because we need him happy. Because again, it's the arrogance, right? It's the arrogance. It's the same thing that kind of that triggers down to the players a little bit. It's the arrogance that we Florida State, we can do what we want to do. You know what I mean? We Florida State, we can do what we want to do. We won before you got here. We'll win afterwards. You know, we just plug and play. You know what I mean? We can throw anybody in this spot and we'll get wins. So it don't really matter. You know what I mean? Bobby did it. Well, he didn't need all of this. And so therefore, you don't need all of this. And as opposed to being forward thinking and saying, no, we, like, the times are changing. So therefore, we got to make some changes. They didn't do that. They never did that. They never made those decisions to say, all right, you know, we need to be more forward thinking. And Jimbo Fisher was basically saying, yo, we got to be more forward thinking. This is what it's going to take if we want to continue to win. And they were saying, yeah, but you just won without it. You're missing a point.
The bigger thing is this, though. If you can't wrangle in Jimbo Fisher, right? If you can't wrangle him in or get him to act a certain kind of way, because apparently everybody's feelings was hurt because of the way he talked to them. And that's another part, which that really explains the whole FSU fan base. Like, that explains fans all in general, because this whole how you feel shit is, like, crazy. Like, I don't like, I agree with him, but he don't make me feel good when he say it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't understand that part. Like, but we call the kid soft on the football field, but it seemed like we just as soft in the administration, though. You know what I'm saying?
We just as soft in administration. We just as soft in the fan base. Like, you can't say nothing to nobody. You can't disagree with nobody on Twitter. I talk about what's, you know what I mean? We like.
But my bigger thing is hire a real athletic director, man. If you feel like this guy is teetering the program, is going into the ground, and it's not going where you need it to go at, you might have to go find a new head coach. It's not working out with the athletic director, the coach, the administration, the boosters. Hire a real athletic director. Get somebody in here that can bridge these gaps. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Why do you stand pat? And then you hire a coach and the athletic director leaves the job like within like a week. Like, what the fuck is going on around that, dude? Just like, if you just think about that, it makes sense that we're this bad. It shouldn't be a shock or a surprise to anybody. Like, if you just read down that timeline of events, not a shock or a surprise.
No, I 100% agree with you. It shouldn't be a surprise at all. And when you look at the failures of what's happened behind the scenes, if you look at, again, the same group who hired Willie and let Jimbo go is the same group who brought in Norvell. And you say, and now we're looking at Norvell, and he's, well, I say he's left a lot to be desired as he's through his first season. So now it's like, I mean, what did y'all expect? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
What did y'all expect to happen? You know what I mean?
Yeah, we shouldn't expect
for him to be. Is doing the same thing. You know what I mean? Doing the same thing, expecting different results. So,
yeah, like,
in my opinion, I'm not surprised by it. And if they let him go after 21 games and the same group want to bring in somebody else, then you know what my expectation is going to be? A lot more failures.
Yeah.
I mean, so, listen, man, there's a lot of failure going on. There's a lot of what do you call it? Blame to go around, for sure. But in my opinion, I think it starts with the
administration. It's one common denominator there, though. It's one common denominator. In all those scenarios and everything that's happened, it's one common denominator there. Right. And that's the part that I feel like everybody has just glossed over. And it shouldn't be glossed over, because I can tell you one thing. I don't care what the Ravens do at head coach. Or in the draft, or what Pittsburgh do, head coach, or in the draft, that's just going to work out.
Right.
They are a well-ran organization. You know what I'm saying?
Same thing with Pittsburgh. Same thing with Pittsburgh.
Same thing.
Pittsburgh is never down long because, like, they may have a bad season. They may have some whatever.
Their bad season is like 7-9, 8-8.
Right. Like, damn, we just barely missed the playoffs. Yeah.
But that's a But like, if the Jaguars, if when it's going to come time for the Jaguars, this shit or what? To pick a quarterback and pick a coach. Do you have any faith that that's going to work out?
No.
None?
No. No.
Because,
none
whatsoever. Because they showed you who they are.
Right.
They showed you who they are. So unless something drastically changed behind the scenes, you shouldn't expect anything different. So, well, we're going to get that to the end of the episode. But it is some things in the background that's happening that I think we can look forward to. And we can say, maybe this stuff does change. I don't know if it changes under Mike Norvell. I don't know if it changes on the football field anytime soon. But I think it does look good in the next 10 years, personally.
Nah, I can agree with that. I agree with you. Like I said, we've had conversations, and I do believe that absolutely they have a plan in place. Now, again, we'll see if they execute that plan, but there definitely is a plan in place to hopefully turn things around. Man, you got anything else on that?
No, I don't want to. Yeah, I mean, we did the state of FSU with Ingram. We did Willie's Gone Now What episode. You can listen to that. We did an episode with Big Game, yep, with James only a couple times. So, yep. I mean, there's episodes you can go listen to, man, that we've chronicled this. So it's not new. And I mean, I think most In Touch FSU fans know this stuff too, to be honest with you.
No, they do. They absolutely do. So I guess on to even more current business. FSU and Clemson did not get played.
Yes, sir.
And I'm happy about that.
Hey, Dabo really thought he could come out here and throw that thing on the table, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he was ready to hang 100 on us. Boy, he was so happy. He had a good night's sleep and everything like that. Woke up and was like, nah, we ain't playing it. And I love it. So I guess my question is, did Mike duck this one? Did Mike duck the smoke a little bit on this other game?
So I got two feelings about this, right? Mm-hmm. If this game was like game number 4, I think we'd have played this game. I think that Mike then wasn't taking the COVID thing serious early on, which, you know, we got proof of that. We got proof that they wasn't taking it serious. So I think they would have played this game. But I do think Mike having caught COVID changed his outlook a little bit on COVID. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to say he ducked it. I'm going to say circumstances allowed for it to be ducked. But I don't know, man, because people keep saying, I mean, I know we have to take the FSU side. And I am on FSU side. Like, you shouldn't be playing games. I was on the opinion that maybe you shouldn't play games at all. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I get it. But if you played against, like, Jacksonville State this week, you think it would have happened?
Yes. Listen, let me be very – so here's the thing, right? This is one of those cases where I think multiple things are true. I do believe with 100% certainty that they do not and did not want to play this game. Like, I believe that, right? Like, they did not want to play this game and needed a reason to not play it. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, and so what happened was
– You think they sent the medical staff searching?
Oh, yeah. No, I believe they said, listen, we're going to test and we're going to make sure. And if anything come up, you are going to be the scapegoat in this one. You know what I mean? You are going to be the scapegoat, period. Like, so we're going to put it on you guys. And if there's a reason, then we're not going to play it. We're not worried about rescheduling it. We're not worried about feelings. And we're going to also, like, make it seem like we did everything possible to play this game. Cool. However, Clemson is also dead ass wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you had a dude who was showing symptoms practice all week long. Then that same dude flew with y'all on a plane to Tallahassee. No, you don't get to play that game. And no, you shouldn't play that game. Because again, based on the contact tracing and everything we know about COVID, nigga, if you was on a plane with somebody, y'all all got it. Who knows? Like, the whole team technically got it. Like I'm just being honest. Like, the way we know how COVID works, y'all was on a plane, that's all recycled air.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody on that plane got it. Dabo got it. At this point, I can safely say everybody on that team got it. Maybe not, but I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? Because this dude tested positive. Y'all was all on the plane together. He got it. Y'all was in the hotel and bus rides and everything like that. Because y'all ain't do it. Y'all ain't, like, they ain't announce it till Saturday morning. Or the test didn't come back till Saturday morning. That right. means whoever his roommate is, whoever y'all was in the hotel with, the walkthroughs, everybody. No, I'm not playing this game. And no, we're not playing it on Tuesday. No, we're not playing it on Monday. No, because then that shortens us up for next week. You understand? Like, the thing that I think Dabo, where it's a bit, you know, messed up from Dabo's perspective. Yeah, you got a good team. So you can play on Monday and then jump back and play again on Saturday and really not miss a beat.
Right.
We're not very good. Yeah. So yeah, if we play on Monday, and we're not that deep. So yeah. If we play on Monday, we already know what happens on Monday games. You got the shortest practice window. So now, you know what I mean? So everything changed a little bit. Now, instead of getting those full practices, you not get one practice in the game. You get a walkthrough, and you got a travel day. So now you're talking about having to go in Virginia shorthanded in a game that you should be, or at least if I'm Mike, I feel like we can be more competitive against Virginia. We know we're losing this one. But we feel like, all right, we may be able to be a little competitive with Virginia. So I'm not going to shorten myself. So that we can, you know what I mean? So that we can almost guarantee losing to Virginia now, because we only gonna get one practice, a walkthrough, and some travel. Like, now we shortened ourselves against a game that we possibly could win. Man, this Clemson game don't matter. It also ain't gonna help us no way. It ain't gonna help us in recruiting. It ain't gonna help us learn nothing. This is a throwaway game.
Right.
Our quarterback hurt. We don't know if Jordan Travis can play. Both our quarterbacks. So now we're gonna have to roll out with Rodemaker. No, yeah, man.
He wasn't playing. Jordan Travis wasn't going to play in the game.
Right. That, so now we're talking about.
That's why I say it was kind of, you know. It
was a perfect scenario. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Dabo, for mismanaging it.
Yeah.
thank you, Dabo, for mismanaging it. You helped us out. We needed to not play this game, and you gave us the excuse. I'm sure we was looking. We had been saying it. Like, I wasn't joking. I was saying, I hope some tests come back and we can't play the game. I was dead serious because I really saw no point in playing this game, and I'm glad Mike was on the same page with that, which is probably why Mike ain't came out and said nothing against Dabo, who is, again, doing exactly what I said he would do. Mike's a clown, man. We've had this conversation. Dabo Swinney is a clown.
Mike is missing an opportunity, though, because he needs to lean into this shit. Like, I would lean into this shit, bro. I'd be like, hey, man, I care about my player. I'd be just like, hey, safety is one of the number one things, and I've had to battle things in my life.
This Monday, he got a press conference. Maybe that's what he's waiting on.
Bro,
maybe
come I would out be, today. I'd have been live streaming last night talking about my players, man. I'd be like, man, you know, I caught COVID. It's a serious thing. If you don't care about your player, who else you going to care about? Like, I'd be like, dude, I would be leaning the fuck in. He's not leaning in enough, bro.
He said nothing, so yeah, bro, he ain't leaning in at all.
I would have my kids, my wife, my family, we all be on live. I'd be like, hey, you know, I treat these guys like my family. You know, they come first. Their livelihoods come first. He's not doing a good enough job to lean in. He needs to lean in. He ain't even got to bring up Dabo's name. Just keep, every time your statement come out by Dabo, just hop up on live. Just hop on live, bro. Just Periscope. Periscope. With your kids, holding them. With masks,
with your babies in your hand, man.
Yeah, with masks, bro.
Yeah, you no, he should. Lean. You know, he should absolutely use this as a PR statement. I agree with that for sure.
Bro,
he definitely should be.
I would lean.
Listen, my problem right now with Dabo. My problem right now is with Dabo, because it's always with Dabo. Because again, me and you have disagreed on what this cat is. I've been telling you this cat is a clown of the highest order for as long as I can remember, and I'm gonna continue to say that. And listening to his statements further prove that out. Like,
right.
This dude is a absolute clown, man. Like, again, he bothers me how much, like, the stupid, just the way he handles certain situations and the fact that he keeps getting away with it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the part I think that bothers me. Again, there was the Football Matter shirt that didn't matter. Allowing coach to say the N-word, he ducks that. Like, every single thing, like, that happens is somehow he's able to just, you know, say stuff and nobody seems to say a word about it. Like, he's in the wrong. Yeah, Florida State didn't want to play this game. Absolutely we didn't. I'm sure Mike didn't want to play it, and neither did the players either, no matter what Janarius Robinson. For the people who want, like, I nearly tweeted. And you know me, I don't tweet players. I don't at players. I don't even follow players. But Janarius Robinson nearly got a tweet from me. Robinson nearly got a tweet from me. I was like, dude, if you don't shut the fuck up. Like, what are you talking about? Man, we was ready. Y'all wasn't ready for shit. Y'all was going to get beat 80 to nothing. Shut up. Shut up. Like, he and us tweet Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, bro, we was ready. No, you weren't. You weren't going to make a play.
Right.
You weren't, like, stop it, man. We know who you are. We know. It comes off so fake when you do, you know what I mean? When, all right, the game been canceled. Now let me pop off. Like, you know what I mean? It's the dude it's been beef all along, but he wait till the police get there, and now all of a sudden he real extra. It was that type of energy. You know what I mean? Like, all right, man, the fight over with, the fight been called, everybody there to break it up. Now all of a sudden you want to pop off?
Right.
Man, dude, come on now. Come on, man. Like, stop it. And that's like, I've never even come close, but I literally hit the button and was finna be like, just shut the fuck up. And I was like, oh, I don't even app players. But this cat here got me so hot just listening to him go back and forth with Trevor Lawrence and say stuff on the timeline. Like, you know, y'all wasn't finna shock the world. Y'all wasn't gonna upset Clemson. And none of this was finna happen. None of it. So y'all was gonna get y'all head bashed in the same way I did the last 2 years.
Right.
Stop it. So yeah, in my opinion, man, I'm happy. I'm happy we ain't playing the game. Somebody needs to tell Dabo we not coming up there for y'all to beat us. We not paying for y'all to come back down for y'all to beat us. None of this is gonna happen.
Tell him we'll put something on it. You know we ain't got no money. We'll put something.
Like, dude, you just out of 300K. Y'all, too bad. Yeah, but again, that's on you. You let the sickly dude practice with y'all all week.
Yeah. So I guess they won't be able to afford one defensive tackle next year. They'll be all
right. Right. Like, yeah, get out of here with this foolishness. Dabo's a clown for his antics and the way he's handling this. Mike Norvell is not wrong in not wanting to play it or reschedule it. I'm sure they were looking for an excuse, and thank you, Clemson, for giving it to us.
Mike need to show up with his kids in masks.
Mike better come out there with a strong – I want Mike to put him on the table.
Bro, I'm talking about, he need to go all straight Joe Biden. You know how Joe Biden be like, wear that mask, like, just be hanging out by himself with a mask on?
He need to have on a wear that mask shirt. He need to have on a wear that mask shirt or a COVID sucks or something like that. He need to really lean into, playing the victim.
He need to be elbow touching with everybody. Like, I need him to go hard on this. I need him to go hard. I need him to...
Later today, we sponsoring a walk for COVID. Everybody gonna be 6 feet apart wearing their mask. He need to do something, man, because this fool.
Lysol. He need to be spraying Lysol during a press conference.
He do need to have is a can like of Lysol and a can of like masks, like the N95 mask just on the table. Just, you know what I mean? Like it's product, like they had the Gatorade bottles, it's product placement. Just have like a can of Lysol. Hand sanitizer and some N95 masks. Just have them in front of him as he's giving his statement.
Straight up.
No, man, we take COVID serious down here in Tallahassee. All
right.
I ain't got no problem with it. And yeah, I do believe he ducked it. And yes, I'm happy. and yes, I'm happy with it. Like, I mean, you know, as much as I love Crow, I disagree with Crow. No, man, we don't need that 80-point loss.
Nah, we good on it.
No, we good on it, man. Crow, we love you, bro. But no, man, we don't need that 80-point loss to say nothing about us. We know what that was gonna be, and we don't feel like playing it. I guess we got something else we wanted to dive into, and so with Clemson being off the schedule, we got two more games. Virginia and Duke. Do we have anything really to look forward to at the end of this season? I guess they also, I mean, everybody gets to go to a bowl game. And I imagine if I'm Mike, I have to take the bowl game because of the extra practice. You need the extra practices. And so if I'm really building towards something, and we've talked about him treating these games as live scrimmages, I would think you have to take whatever bowl invite you get. I don't care if you got to play it the following week. You know what I mean? The week after the NC champ, the week after the what is it called the ACC championship game. I don't care when they schedule it. If there's a bowl and they invite you to it, go. You know, go. I don't care if it's in, you know, in Mars. I don't give, like, go play it. Because you need the extra practice. So, I mean, what do we have, I guess, to look forward to? What should we be looking forward to the rest of this season?
I mean, it's not a lot to look forward to on the football field. And I got to be honest with you. It's really not a lot to look forward to in recruiting either, man. You see how bad the recruiting is right now?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to lose Luke Altmyer.
But didn't we say this, though?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I'm not surprised by it. We said, because my whole premise, and yours too, for the most, but no, you just didn't think he could recruit. But my premise was he needed to win these games in order to recruit.
I know one thing. He needed to win more than two games. I know that.
That's what I mean. Like, no, he needed to win games. Like, not a little bit of games. He needed to win a lot. He needed to, like, show guys, hey, I'm like, we going to win some games here because I need these wins in order to recruit. And the fact that he don't have them and he not going to get them, maybe if he, again, I don't have nothing really to look forward to, unfortunately. And that's really sad because I don't believe they're beating Virginia. I mean, I'm just going to come out and say it. I hope they're competitive, but I don't believe they're beating Virginia.
I think they – probably not.
I told you, I'm not picking them to win again the rest of the season. And
yeah, you did.
I'm not. Like, what – they haven't shown me anything. Again, it's, put it like this. Virginia better than North Carolina State, yeah?
Yeah.
Virginia's also probably better than Louisville. Maybe they're in the same class?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm not saying it.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Yeah, I'm not saying it. I mean, you know, we'll break down the game, I guess, later on this. And, you know, we'll break down the game later on, and, we'll dive into a little bit what Virginia does and where the matchups and go. But I don't know. I don't see it yet. But, you know, I'll dive into it, and maybe my opinion change. Well, I'm telling you, my opinion ain't going to change. Even if I do believe we have some favorable matchups, I still ain't going to believe it. So, I don't believe they won in this one, which means that you're basically looking at a 3-win season, right? And that's if they beat Duke. And I'm just still not sure that's a layup. It is not very much to look forward to. My hope is that they're competitive, at least with Virginia, and they can somehow beat Duke, which is a sad statement to say that they can somehow beat Duke, but that's where we are as a program. I hope they can somehow beat Duke. I hope they're competitive with Virginia, and I think those are two things that, you know, at least say, all right, well, they still playing football, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
And then you take those practices, get Jordan Travis heavy, healthy, and then get some win. Maybe, you know, I mean, again, your matchup in the bowl game will be, I don't know, who's really bad as well.
FAU.
FAU. Nah. Oh, Jesus Christ. Please don't be FAU. That'd you don't be need dope. That loss.
That'd be dope, bro. That'd be so dope.
Let me. Okay, so now we're here, right? Yeah. What happens to this timeline and to this fan base if they play FAU and will it beat them? what happens at that point? Like,
I will have to take off of work. Like I did this morning. I had to take off of work. I would have to devote myself to like 48 hours of just jokes.
I'm gonna say
it's funny because it's like I'm not really a Willie apologist, but I have to play one on the timeline because it's just funny and it makes me mad.
Right, and that's what, and I don't think people understand that though. Like people don't understand that like. Should just be funny. Not to mention, we just be calling things how we see it. Like, I get it, right? You're not allowed to say Willie ever did anything well. Everything Willie did was a failure. I understand that. But y'all also got to admit that everything Norvell is doing right now is a failure. I mean, we've been on TMZ twice. You know, we've been on TMZ twice. That was before we ever played a game. You know, we went out there and got in, you know, got beat by Georgia Tech, which is not Virginia Tech.
Right.
I don't know what to tell you. You know what I mean? Like, we got blown out by Miami. I'm waiting for somebody to tell me, you know. But, again, every time I bring this stuff up, they tell me, you can't look at this team and tell me they're not improved. And I guess, all right. Maybe I'm not looking at it right.
Yeah.
Like, matter of fact, if you like one of them dudes who break down the numbers and all the analytics and stuff, maybe one of y'all can come on this podcast and maybe, you know, man, I'm a numbers guy, so you explain it to me and show me how they're better. Maybe I can. There's some empirical data that I'm missing, where I'm just not seeing it because I'm not seeing a better team. I still see confusion. Again, we week 9 into the season. I'm still seeing guys run on the field late. Those are the things y'all told me Willie was bad at. The false start penalties after timeouts. Like, I'm just saying, like, I would like to know. Y'all tell me it's better. I'm crazy. I don't know what I'm looking at. I'm a Willie apologist, all this stuff. But, okay. Okay. I mean, this essentially was a bye week. So yeah, we know what we do after bye weeks. We know what we do after bye weeks. So, I mean, I expect to get blown out by Virginia. I mean, I'm trying to figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, we've had 2 bye weeks. The game plan on both the bye weeks was terrible after the bye weeks. Hmm. Both times y'all got blowed out by average at best teams.
All right.
Okay. I mean, again, like, let me know. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I'm not seeing it. You know what I'm saying? And that's where I keep saying I'm a little confused at the timeline and the people who seem to cape for Norvell. You know, let me also, matter of fact, now I'm here. I'm on a tangent now. But when did people determine that support meant you can't tell, like, the team's doing bad? Like, I'm trying to figure that out. Like, on Facebook, and I see some on Twitter as well, where, man, y'all got to support y'all team.
Right.
Me saying that Mike's not doing a good job is not supporting the team?
I mean, me sending my booster.
Yeah, that's what I like. Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm still a fan. I'm still buying merchandise, booster support, like all that. You know what I mean? Like, what are you talking about? So, support means to ignore all the stuff you see and say nothing but positive things. Is that what support means? Like, I'm honestly asking because I don't know, because it seems like anytime somebody says, you know, hey, man, Mike Norvell is really struggling this year. He don't need, you know what I mean? He's this, that, and the third, and the team doesn't look better, and they're not better coached, and this, that, and the third. Like, whenever we say that stuff, man, you ain't supporting the team. Why don't you go be a fan of another team?
Right.
I don't, like, I'm confused by it a little bit. You know what I mean? Because I don't understand why is that not considered support? Like, what is, I guess they mean blind support? Like, we got to be blindly supportive? Don't call out nothing.
I let everybody choose to do whatever they want to choose to do. You know, I ain't mad at them. They don't need to be mad at me. But, man, let's get ready to wrap on that, man, because
I'm not going to say nothing else about that. Yeah. Yep.
I'm about to get to a nice little unproductive day today for myself.
No, I'm actually, listen, I wanted today to be unproductive, but it looks like I'm going to end up having to do some work today. Yeah, I'm going to have to do some work today, unfortunately. I only got a few days this week anyway, before Thanksgiving. I'll be back in Duval. I'm going to have to catch it. I'm only there for 24 hours just to see my mama, eat some good food, and then head right back. Head right back up there, man. But I'll probably have to come see you, man.
All right, bro. That'd be nice, man. Slide through.
All right, yo. Hey, you just heard the Listen Up podcast. Rate, review, subscribe. Some